Season 2 premiere, The Goonies, Stand By Me. Movie battle begins now.
Welcome to Movie Battle. Each episode, superfans battle it out to see which film is best. Here's your host, Kevin Armstrong.
What is up, party people? Welcome to Movie Battle Season 2 premiere. This is Episode 16, The Goonies vs. Stand By Me. We have two classic coming-of-age tales from the mid-80s that take place in Oregon and star Corey Feldman. This might be the most perfect matchup as of yet here on Movie Battle. We'll bring the superfans out in a few, but first, here are some quick tidbits. The Goonies is directed by Richard Donner. The screenplay is by Chris Columbus, based on a story by Steven Spielberg. It stars Sean Astin, Josh Brolin, Jeff Cohen, Corey Feldman, Cary Green, Martha Plimpton, Jonathan K. Kwan, and Josh Matazatz, Anne Ramsey, Robert Davey, and Joe Pantoliano, Joey Pants, as the Fratellis. Richard Donner has a cameo as a sheriff's deputy. The Goonies was released June 7th, 1985, with a budget of $19 million and a box office of $124 million. The Goonies has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 76%. Stand By Me is directed by Rob Reiner. The screenplay is by Bruce A. Evans and Reynold Gideon, based on The Body by Stephen King. It stars Will Wheaton, River Phoenix, Corey Feldman, Jerry O'Connell, Kiefer Sutherland, Casey Semezo, John Cusack, Andy Linbay as David Lardass Hogan, with Richard Dreyfuss handling the narration. Stand By Me was released on August 22, 1986, with a budget of $7.5 to $8 million and a box office of $52.3 million. Stand By Me has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 91%. In 2017, The Goonies was elected for preservation in the U.S. National Film Registry by the Library of Congress as being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. Stand By Me was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay. The character of Gordy was loosely based on Stephen King. King has always been very impressed by the film, saying that it's the best film ever made out of anything I've written. You've captured my story. It is autobiographical. David Dukes, Ted Bessel, and Michael McKean were considered for the narrator role of Stand By Me. River Phoenix originally auditioned for Gordy LaChance. Ethan Hawke auditioned for Chris Chambers. That could have been an interesting version, but I still think I would stick with the actors that were cast. The original title for Stand By Me was The Body. It was renamed because it sounded like either a sex film or a bodybuilding film or yet another Stephen King horror film. Reiner came up with Stand By Me. The train dodge scene took a week to shoot, and they used four small adult female stunt doubles. One-Eyed Willie's pirate ship was a full-size replica of a pirate ship created under the direction of production designer J. Michael Riva. Donner did not let the actors see it until they filmed the scene. They had to use the second take in the final cut of the film due to the actors being so overwhelmed. The entire set was scrapped after shooting because they could not find anyone who wanted it. Dang. There have been several rumors and possibilities of a sequel. During the reunion in 2020, Spielberg stated, "Chris, Dick, and Lauren and I have had a lot of conversations about a sequel. Every couple of years, we come up with an idea, but then it doesn't hold water." There were two reunions in 2020 on Zoom featuring the cast of Goonies, raising money for charity. There you have it. We'll be right back with the superfans. Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our first guest is making his second appearance. Jeremy Lutz from Detroit, Michigan, graduate of Central Michigan University, currently resides in Youngsville, North Carolina with his wife, Abby, and children, Grace and Max. Jeremy teaches math at Heritage Middle School in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Jeremy, welcome back to Movie Battle.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, Kevin.
You know, Jeremy, you were the first guest we had on our very first episode representing Back to the Future.
Oh, great movie. Seems like ages ago. I'm glad to see you're still doing this and that you're finding success. And like I said, glad to be a part of it, man.
Yeah, and this, you know, we had to bring you back for the first episode of season two. So we're very excited. Different circumstances as we're recording this on a Sunday, and was it Friday you found out you tested positive for COVID?
Yep. So thankfully my whole family, they're thankfully and unthankfully, if that's a word, but they're all COVID free. Not really sure where I got it. You know, it's out there, and you know, try to be extra careful, but you know, thankfully I am healthy, lost my taste and smell, which that's the weirdest thing, but my kids don't have it. My wife doesn't have it. So that's the good thing. The weird thing is I'm kind of self-quarantined up in our bedroom. So getting the opportunity to watch a lot of shows, play a lot of video games, and reflect on life, I guess.
There you go.
my heart goes out to those people that have lost loved ones, and man, it's crazy.
Man, well, we're definitely praying for you
and
hoping for a speedy recovery.
Absolutely.
As speedy as it can be, and just very thankful that you're able to do this.
Oh, absolutely. Me too, man.
Thrilled you're here. So, you know, I always ask people, you know, how their parents would describe what they do for a living. You're a math teacher. Is that what your folks would say?
Well, yeah. So that's a good question, because normally my mom grew up a teacher. My dad was a pastor, but now they would say, yeah, you're a teacher, but they have no idea what that means now, because I'm a virtual teacher. I virtually teach math. So that looks so different than it did. So if I tried to explain what my day looks like to them, they would look at me with cross-eyed, you know, just because it's so different. So essentially I am a teacher, but I almost look at it like a live streamer. I'm basically live streaming. Since I teach middle school, they all have their cameras off, which is cool. I get it. But it's been neat. It's been neat to interact with them and have it develop relationships with these kids virtually. So yeah, they would say I'm a teacher, which is correct, but they would have no idea with what it actually looks like these days. Yeah, and I don't sometimes know what it looks like day to day either. So
yeah, the game done changed.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, last time you were here, you said your brother would portray you in a movie about your life. Are you sticking with that?
Well, I'll stick with it kind of, but then I'll say another one. A funny thing about my brother, you know, him being an actor, and now that I'm doing this Goonies battle, there's actually a scene in 30 Rock, which is the show that he's in.
Right.
No plug for it, but where he does the truffle shuffle in the scene, and it's hilarious. If you listeners have never seen it, you can Google it. Or you look it up on YouTube, but it's really funny. So I'll stick with him. But if I had to pick somebody not family, I would probably say Jonah Hill, like Jonah Hill back in the like super bad days.
Okay.
His mannerisms and that scene where he's laying down and he touches his buddy's nose and kind of goes, it's just epic. So I'll say Jonah Hill if I got to pick somebody outside of my family. That's what I'll say.
All right, both strong choices, Jeremy, and I apologize since you don't have the taste or smell senses right now. But when those are available, what is your go-to movie snack?
Hey, I'm gonna switch it up here because I just found out today that I can taste hot, so like spicy things, like you know. So I was like, oh, I'll try some hot sauce, and it was hot, so it was like all I could taste was the heat. So I'm going to say I'll switch it up and go with some nachos with extra jalapenos, and then I'll wash it down with whatever, probably a diet soda, because I won't be able to tell that it's diet. And so it's somewhat good for me at this time. So yeah, I'm going to say nachos with extra jalapenos on there.
There you go. That's a bona fide winner in my book. Jeremy, I mean, it goes without saying, you are a Goonies super fan. What is it you love so much about the film?
Man, it's just that right now for me, I would say it's the nostalgia of it. So there's those movies that I had growing up that just, they were epic. I mean, Star Wars is one of them. Back to the Future's up there, and then Goonies is there as well. Unfortunately, there's other ones that don't hold up over time, like unfortunately, like Never Ending Story, Howard the Duck. They just don't hold up.
Howard the Duck.
Yeah. And don't, my advice is, if you got great memories of those two movies, don't rewatch them because it will ruin it. But this one, it just is held up. The nostalgia's there. I love the kids on an adventure trying to save something that their parents can't save. The comedy in it is fantastic. The villains are great. It's just an all around good adventure movie that I always wanted to be a part of. And even to this day, man, if I could have a chance to go on the adventure that the Goonies did and ride down that slide, I would definitely take it. Every once in a while, they throw out a rumor that like there's going to be a Goonies 2, and I just get all excited, and it never happens. But I don't know if you've seen, Kevin, but during the quarantine here, they actually did a reunion.
Yes.
And it was phenomenal. And it just, all of it just brought back the memories, the excitement, and it was just really neat to see all those people back together. So yeah, a lot goes into that movie, and the memories, the soundtrack. It's all around great.
You know, we live in the same neighborhood, Jeremy. There is a giant, I don't know if you would call it a ravine or creek area. I feel like there's potential for some
something sketchy could happen.
Goonies, right? Enthusiasts to have a good time.
Yeah.
Get some lumber and
I'll have to look in my attic for a map or something.
Check with the HOA and
yeah,
it's on.
That'd be great.
All right, how old were you the first time you saw Goonies?
You know, I don't know the age, but I definitely know where it was. I had a friend, Nick Camati was his name. I really wonder what Nick Camati's doing these days, but he was a year older than me, and his parents had HBO, so they would tape every movie. I mean, every movie he would tape. He's the first person I saw, like Freddy Krueger or Nightmare on Elm Street. I remember watching Tales from the Crypt at his house, because those were all the movies I wasn't allowed to watch, the shows I wasn't allowed to watch.
Right.
But when I went over Nick's house, it was kind of fair game there. So he had Goonies. And it wasn't that my parents didn't necessarily want me to watch it. They would probably prefer that I watch the, TBS version. As opposed to the real one. And so yeah, Nick Camati's, I was probably eight or nine years old, watching it at his house, probably trying to watch it extra quiet so that his parents didn't know we were watching it. And yeah, good memories. It's funny thinking about that. Awesome. I was just like, man, that's crazy. Long time ago.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing, because we've got my older brother coming up as your opponent today, and you know, I'm looking forward to talking to him, because I just have so many memories of when I saw a movie, who I saw it with, and, you know, a lot of, you know, my experience with rated R movies and, you know, movies that maybe I shouldn't have came from him. So, I know exactly what you're talking about.
He's the negative influence in a positive way, right?
Yeah, so that's a good way to put it. We had, and I'll mention this with my brother, we had what I would describe as rated R parents.
Gotcha.
Yes. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Keep it family friendly, Jeremy, right?
Definitely. Did you learn anything from Goonies?
Well, so I guess and it's funny now with not having a sense of smell, but I never realized before then that you could actually smell ice cream. When Chunk smells the ice cream, I'm like, gosh, this kid's pretty special if you could smell ice cream. So I learned that, and just that kids can save the day when their parents can't. I would say that's what I learned from the Goonies experience. And I guess too, the underlined idea that you don't have to be the cool jock and kind of the normal dorky kid. although they're all pretty cool. But they can kind of be the ones to be the hero in the end.
Well said. Was there anything you didn't understand about Goonies or anything you would change?
Yeah, so if you thankfully the editors were really smart. The scene where the Walkman, and I don't know, Kevin, if you've ever seen this, but when they come out of the water slide and the octopus like is there and it eats the way they get the octopus to go away is they turned on Cyndi Lauper on a like a right. Walkman. It's just, it's so bad. But in the end, they mention it still. They didn't edit the scene where I think it's Chunk is talking about it or Data or somebody's talking about the sea monster. And I guess they kept it in because, you know, it's kids embellishing a story maybe. But I always thought that was weird until I found out there was a, you know, a deleted scene. So that's something. But, man, would I change anything? The I always forget her name, but the girl with the glasses, she kind of drove me crazy as a kid.
Martha Plimpton.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect role for her, and it's needed in the movie. But as a kid, I was just like, this girl, man, like she's awful. But you know, it adds to the story. Yeah. So maybe the only thing I would change is that whole the ending. With the talking about the getting attacked by the sea monster or whatever, but I guess it plays out. Other than that, it's a pretty flawless film.
I would concur. All right, Jeremy. So before we get out of here, you know, we always do this. You have to leave with your favorite quote. You get one.
Yeah. And
what is your favorite quote from Goonies? Geez,
and every time you think about this, I shouldn't say you. Every time I think about this, it changes day to day. And listening to your podcast, too, it's like, gosh, people, it's so hard to pick number one, like, quote. So I'm going to go with, golly. I think this time I'm going to have to go with just puree. The line of puree, because that monologue before that is epic. It is so good. When he's like going, like, it is so great. Now there are so many other quotes I could get into, the core, the my dream, my wish, like that's so epic too. But I'm going to say puree just because it's the grandma saying it and, Mama Fratelli.
I'm a Fratelli.
Saying it to Chunk right before he's going to get his hand thrown in the blender.
Well, Jeremy, I can't think of a more perfect way to go out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jeremy, once again, thank you for coming on, and we're definitely praying for, you know, your speedy recovery.
Thank you.
And best of luck to you in the movie.
All right, man. Look forward to it. We'll talk soon.
All right. All right.
Excuse me while I interrupt your movie battle for just 1 second. I've got a question for you. Do you like true crime? Blood, guts, gore, murder? Maybe you like nostalgia, you know, watching those old movies, or you see that guy and you're like, hey, I know that guy, he's that guy from... Well, if you do, once you finish movie battle, head on over to A-Side B-Side Podcast with Brooke and Adam. We'd love to have you.
Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next guest is making his first appearance and happens to be my older brother. We're happy to welcome Tom Armstrong. Tom is from Raleigh, North Carolina. He is a graduate of NC State University with a degree in writing, rhetoric, and language. Currently, Tom lives in downtown Raleigh with his wife, Ashley, cat Buddy, and their pet chickens. Tom is the chef and general manager at Vinny's Steakhouse and Tavern in North Raleigh. When not in the kitchen, Tom enjoys hiking, biking, and generally being outdoors. Tom would also like you to know that he is a huge New Orleans Saints fan. Tom, welcome to Movie Battle.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. So how are things going at Vinny's?
Things are going pretty well. I mean... certainly under the circumstances, I feel like we're very fortunate compared to a lot of other restaurants, you know, in Raleigh and throughout the country. Even at 50% capacity, we have a lot of square footage, so we're just able to spread out and still have a decent number of guests indoors. We're doing a lot of takeout business, a lot more than we used to.
That's awesome.
You know, and just having been here for so long, you know, we've got a very loyal clientele. And then I've also just been able to develop a really good team of my staff that, you know, it's all sort of worked in our favor. All
awesome. Now, Vinny's has been kind of at the forefront as far as, you know, COVID safety and, like you mentioned, you know, using the extra space and just all the safety measures y'all have gone to.
We tried to take it very seriously from the get-go since we reopened back in May. We were closed for a little over 2 months. You know, and of course I have members of my staff with, you know, varying degrees of concern. So I have to take, you know, I have to take everyone's concerns very seriously. So we decided before we reopened that we were going to take all the protocols very seriously. We never doubted for a moment that we were going to be wearing masks and taking temperatures and kind of doing a lot of the extra things that a lot of places weren't really taking seriously at the beginning. And I think that helped us to develop trust, you know, not just with our staff, but also with our guests. And it's certainly paid off for us.
Well, that's great to hear, Tom. And you know, speaking of, you know, you working at Vinny's, I always ask our guests how their parents would describe what they do for a living. I think it's pretty safe to say mom and dad know what you do for a living. Would you say mom likes to tell other people what you do for a living or and where you do it at?
Oh, yeah. She loves to, especially if we're, you know, which, of course, we all haven't been out, you know, to dinner together in a while now. But, you know, whenever we are out for a special occasion or something, she does like to inform our server and anyone else that will listen that, you know, I'm a chef and, you know, I generally frown upon that. But I mean,
I can see you cringing.
Yeah. I mean, cause I just typically, I don't want any special treatment. I want to, you know, I mean, when I'm out, I'm out to have a good time, but I'm always sort of observing what's going on. And I, you know, I kind of want to gauge, you know, the service and the quality of food and whatnot at other establishments. And, you know, so I just kind of like to be incognito about it. But I, you know, I think they're just both proud of what I do and, you know, love to tell people about it. And whenever they have the chance, I think they love to bring people up here and enjoy it as well.
Absolutely. And nothing wrong with being a proud parent.
No.
All right, Tom, I always like to ask our guests, who plays you in a movie about your life? And I kind of have a inkling what you're going to say.
Well, I certainly, as a younger man, was told multiple times, both seriously and jokingly, that I looked like Rudy. you know, from the movie, played by Sean Astin. And you know, I've kind of shopped around and I still think that he's probably the one. I don't know if he put on a lot of weight for his role in Stranger Things. I don't think I've seen him in a role since then, but you know, he might have to work out a little bit, but I think he'd be the one. Sean Astin.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's a strong fit. It might be one of the strongest ones. We also have had, my good friend Neil has been on here several times and he went with Jason Alexander. So I think those are probably the two most.
Yeah. That's a pretty pretty spot on one for Neil too, I'd say.
All right. Well, Tom, when you do,
can I stop you real quick? Just,
yes.
it's just something I thought of about this question. I mean, I don't think anybody else, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but I don't think anybody else has asked you, and us being brothers, I was kind of wondering who would play you.
That's a good question. You know, I've joked before that, if I asked Rebecca that, you know, I would hope she would say somebody cool like, you know, Jason Statham, or even like her, she loves Channing Tatum, but, more than likely she would say the male nanny from Jerry Maguire. I used to, you know, I used to joke, you know, years ago, when I was younger, that, maybe, either David Faustino that played Bud Bundy.
Oh yeah.
or in the later years, Jerry Ferrara that played Turtle on Entourage.
Mm-hmm.
He's trimmed down, and actually he played a lawyer on the show Power. So he's kind of changed his image a lot than, you know, from when Entourage first started. Uh-huh. Who did you have in mind for me?
I didn't really think it through. It just kind of popped in my head. I wanted to ask you that. Cause I didn't think it would be, you know, I mean, obviously we're not twins or anything, so, you know, we're brothers, but we don't look exactly alike. So I was just kind of curious what your take was on that question.
You know, it's kind of funny. Like one thing I've also thought of, like, if, you know, I'm always asking people, you know, if they made a movie about their life. So if they start making a movie about, you know, everybody I know's life, then, I think they might just change me and everyone, kind of like they changed the Griswold kids.
Uh-huh.
And all the, so, you know, they probably just, you know, maybe some new up and comers that haven't been discovered.
Right.
Ideally, I would love it to be Jason Statham. Okay. I think.
So that's who you're going with.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an action packed movie.
You better believe it.
All right.
Yeah. you've witnessed my whole life. You know how, just how I live for danger.
Oh, yeah. And, on the edge.
Oh yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. Where were we? Okay. Yes. What is your go-to movie snack? You know, you being a chef and all.
I was definitely more of a candy guy when I was younger, but, Ashley really likes popcorn, and since we've been married and been to so many movies together, we always share a bucket of popcorn, extra butter, and then she always brings in her own special salts.
Very nice. I might have to ask her about that. Get some recommendations. Rebecca for Christmas got me some good like popcorn kernels and like a thing to make my own popcorn, and she got like some kind of Amish butter topping stuff that and it's taken me a couple batches, but I've kind of got it down now. So
sounds good.
Yeah, I'm a popcorn enthusiast myself.
I might smuggle a pack of peanut butter cups in as well, but popcorn would be the main event.
Very good. All right, Tom, let's get down to business here. You are a Stand By Me super fan. Yeah. What is it you love so much about the film?
I really love everything about that movie. Just from the story, you know, being by Stephen King, you know, it's a sort of a coming of age story about some young boys, but it's kind of got a dark side to it. And the fact that they're going to look for a dead body, just the setting and the scenery, the soundtrack, the actors that they chose, just, you know, the direction they got from Rob Reiner, just everything about it really, to me, it came out, I think right after, like just literally like a few days after I turned 13. So I remember seeing it, you know, back then when I was the same age as the characters, and it really, you know, hit home then. And it's just a movie that I've probably watched at least every 2 or 3 years, you know, my entire life. And it just means a lot to me.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, anytime you can find an art form of any kind, whether it's a movie or a band, you know, musician you like, that's at the same point in your life as that. I mean, that's just, that's a recipe for success and very deep meaning. So I definitely can understand your you know, complete total fandom for the movie. So you were 13 when you saw it the first time.
Yes.
Which would have made me, I believe, I would have been 8 at the time.
Yep.
And I don't know if I saw it right then. It probably would have been, you know, at least a year or two before I saw it. Even though, you know, I recommend having an older brother or sister to people out there, because you get that kind of stuff, you know, a little earlier than you would normally get. And so having an older brother, I remember seeing, you know, Stand By Me, and like, I remember we had The Breakfast Club and Trading Places on some like dubbed VHS yeah. tapes, and just seeing this all the time.
I don't know what happened to all those tapes. They probably got taped over multiple times too.
I'm sure they did. And you know, plus, you know, our father's two favorite movies are, or I would say his three favorite movies are Caddyshack, Animal House, and Porky's. Well, in addition to every war movie ever, which is a requirement for men of a certain mm-hmm. age. All right. So, you know, you told me everything you loved about Stand By Me and just how it, you know, related to your, you know, your coming of age. Would you say you learned anything from Stand By Me, or what would you say is the message of Stand By Me?
I think, I mean, you know, when I saw it as a younger, you know, as a kid and teenager or whatnot, you know, it was just more entertainment. My friends and I, we really latched on to a lot of the language and the lingo that they use. And we really, you know, kind of talked to each other in that way. And, you know, the way if they get into an argument, they always, you know, they're like, hey, skin it, man. You know, like you gotta make the peace. You know, we always kind of followed those lines of communication as, you know, as kids growing up, you know, that we picked up from the movie. But I don't know that I was necessarily looking to learn a lesson from it. But as I've grown older and, you know, even watching it recently, it just kind of shows you, just, you know, and you learn through life as it is, just people come and go from your life. You know, people that are close to you, vague acquaintances, people just kind of come and go, and you sort of need to really recognize those relationships that you want to hold on to. And, you know, it requires some effort. It requires compromise and sacrifice to make those relationships last.
That's very well said, Tom. Was there anything you didn't understand about Stand By Me, or would you change anything?
There's nothing I didn't really understand since Byrne clarified that Lard Ass did not have to pay to get into the pie eating contest. That was really the only the only question mark. So I didn't really, you know, not understand anything. What was the second part of that question?
Would you change anything?
No, I don't think I would.
It's pretty close to a perfect movie.
It really is, and, yeah.
You know, speaking of, you know, it came out in 1986, so the 80s are known for their, you know, teen movies. It was just kind of a big boom. You know, you can go back as far as, you know, I mean, Fast Times at Ridgemont High and even Porky's, but then going through all the John Hughes movies, Karate Kid, all that. You know, when people talk about what's the best teen movie or the best, you know, youth movie of the 80s, nobody ever really says Stand By Me, because it kind of supersedes that and is just... You just think of it as one of the great movies of the 80s.
Yeah.
Or at least that's how I feel.
No, I feel the same way. I mean, you know, if you asked me what would be the best, you know, like you just said, teen movie or, you know, that genre of movie from the 80s, I would probably say The Breakfast Club. Like, to me, absolutely. This movie just sort of transcends that that genre and just stands on its own as just a great movie about, you know, just some very valuable life lessons.
I am in complete agreement. Well, Tom, you know, as we close out this, we always ask every guest on Movie Battle to say their one favorite quote from the movie on the way out. What is your favorite quote from Stand By Me? You get one.
So when you first started doing the podcast, and, you know, of course, I thought in the back of my mind, well, maybe he might ask me to do this sometime. I better start thinking about this. And of course, Stand By Me was actually the first movie that I thought, you know, I would like to represent. And without even rewatching it, because I hadn't seen it in several years, without even rewatching it, you know, the quote just came right to me. But when I rewatched it a couple times recently in preparation for this, and I took some notes, and I literally wrote like 2 pages worth of quotes from the movie. But in the end, I think I'm going to have to stick with my original decision. And it comes towards the end of the movie when the guys have found the body, and then the older guys show up to sort of steal their glory. And they're having a face off with Kiefer Sutherland's character, Ace. And, you know, he's about to possibly hurt or kill River Phoenix's character. And Gordy steps out with the pistol and fires a warning shot, and, you know, has a pretty intense dialogue with Ace. And he says, "Suck my fat when you cheat, dime store hood." And, you know, I don't think you can come up with a better line. You know, for a 12, 13 year old boy to say to someone who has, you know, I mean, he had just stolen his dead brother's hat from him, and they had just been, you know, picked on and oppressed by those older boys. And so, you know, just those words coming out of his mouth directed at Kiefer Sutherland, there's not a better line in that movie, I don't think. And then there's a lot of good ones.
Absolutely. Just, you know, when you have a movie, you know, from a great writer, and it's, you know, autobiographical, definitely the dialogue was a key point to it. And it's something, you know, kind of a trademark of mm-hmm. Rob Reiner. So, yeah, I'd have to be in agreement. That's about as good as a quote as we've heard here on Movie Battle. So, Tom, this has been great. Best of luck to you in the movie battle. Thanks again for coming on.
Looking forward to it.
All right, party people. It is the moment you've been waiting for. Time for the movie battle. Up first, representing the Goonies, my man, Jeremy Lutz. Jeremy, talk to me.
Well, hello, everybody out there in podcast land. I'm sure if you're tuning into this, you've definitely seen The Goonies. I guarantee it. But there's a higher probability that you haven't seen the other movie, which I won't even name right now. It is a good film. I'll give it that. But all of us, and I'm talking to you listeners, I'm talking to all of us here in the podcast, we have definitely seen, can relate to, we've had that dream, we've had that wish, just like Mouth, and really, it was our time when we watched that movie. So it doesn't get much better than The Goonies, folks.
Wow. coming in hot, Jeremy. Wow. Yeah, that's a better way to put it. Okay. All right. Well, Tom, Stand By Me.
Well, you've got a movie, you know, based on a story written by Stephen King. So we're off to a good start already. Directed by Rob Reiner. Perfectly cast characters. The setting and the cinematography laid out to, you know, to lay that story on top of was perfect. The music that they chose, even, you know, specific to each scene, couldn't be any better for the period that it's based in. And again, you know, just it struck me, you know, so relevant when I was that age of the characters watching the movie back then, and throughout my lifetime, it resonates to this day still, the messages of the movie. And I could sit down and watch that movie anytime. I just think it's really one of the best movies ever made, in my opinion.
Well said, Tom. And see, this is a perfect, you know, just cross segment of the population. So I am 43 years old. Tom, you're my older brother. You're 5 years older than me. Jeremy, you're 5 years younger than me. And I guarantee if I, you know, people, Tom, your age, I would say, you know, a vast majority are going to say Stand By Me, you know, if asked this question. Jeremy, same thing, you know, with people your age, it's probably going to be 100% Goonies. And unfortunately, there might be a large percentage of that have not seen Stand By Me.
Yep.
This is a perfect matchup. And it's amazing, you know, how we can have two movies that are from the 80s, coming of age stories, you know, that take place in Oregon and both have Corey Feldman in them, and they are completely different movies. So I just think this is awesome.
I find it interesting too, Jeremy, that you're close to 10 years young. You're like 37, 38, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to be actually 38 in 2 days. So,
okay.
Well, happy early birthday.
Happy early birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have the same birthday as our mother.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 47, and because Goonies came out before Stand By Me, like a year before.
Yeah. Right?
So mm-hmm. I find it interesting that someone 10 years younger than me relates so much more to that movie. I guess it's just, I mean, to me, it's just, it is more of kind of a kid's movie, I guess. And, you know, and I don't say that in a like insulting way. I just, you know, it's just, you know, the characters are younger. It's a little bit more, even though it is in their minds, a very serious, you know, mission that they're going on as well. I just find it interesting that, you know, you would, that people younger than me would relate more to that movie.
Yeah. And I would agree 100%. No doubt that both phenomenal movies. I think everything that you said, Tom, could be echoed, except for maybe the cinematography in Goonies. There's some good stuff, but there's also like some cheese in there, like where the dad rips up the bill and miraculously there's 10,000 pieces of paper flying in the air. But I would tend to agree, and I would say, you know, without nostalgia behind Goonies, if I were to watch the two films unbiased for the first time, I would probably be all about Stand By Me. However, with the nostalgia, and it's funny that you mentioned the age difference, because I have a brother that's 10 years older and a brother that's 8 years older. And I can remember them watching that movie, Stand By Me, that is. And I was terrified, so terrified of Kiefer Sutherland's character as a little kid that I couldn't watch the movie because I'm like, this dude is so creepy. And then Lost Boys came out and it was like, he's even more creepy now.
Right.
So I would definitely agree on the aspect that there's the age gap where people my age, or, you know, people that enjoyed Goonies when they were younger, could definitely, I would say you would get more of the younger kids in Goonies age group, like that type of kid. You didn't really, like, I guess you would have been like Bran's age, and nobody, at least I can't relate to those characters. I related more to like the younger ones. And that's still, when I watch it to this day, it holds up for me because of the nostalgia that was built in. Just because as a kid watching it, there was nothing outlandish in that movie. I mean, obviously embellished, but nothing so outlandish to where I couldn't fit myself into their shoes and say, dude, this could happen. Like, I could be in my friend's attic and find a map, and then we go and maybe even meet some creepy looking, really nice guy that's been ousted by his family. So yeah, that nostalgia there is just, and for me as a kid watching it, it just drew me in because it was an adventure that I wanted to be a part of for sure. And I can't say the same for the other, for Stand By Me, just because of the fact that that's, to me, that was terrifying. And the scene, I still remember seeing Kiefer Sutherland and being terrified. And then seeing the scenes where the dogs are chasing them, I'm just like, holy cow, this is terrifying. And then the leeches, it's like, I'm never going to swim in a pond ever. And to this day, I'm not about like walking around in shallow water. It's creepy.
Yeah, the leeches, and let us not also forget Chopper.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Let's give him the proper respect because, you know, no explanation mm-hmm. needed. All right. Well, guys, I mean, this is great. You know, great examples from both movies. This is just a great representation here. One thing I love, both of these movies, you know, neither one would be classified as a comedy, but you have just ridiculous laugh out loud moments from both of them. Goonies, is more, you know, geared toward the younger audience and has more slapstick, you know, with the Fratellis and just, you know, Chunk and Sloth and everything. And like I said, more slapstick. And Stand By Me is more just great witty dialogue. Like, it kind of set a new standard for like the way people, especially younger people, you know, talk to one another in a movie. Tom, you were touching on that earlier.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we were basically, when that movie came out, me and my friends were the same age, so we we used a lot of that language, seriously and jokingly. When they're sitting around the campfire that night, and Chris has stolen some cigarettes from his dad, certainly something that we used to do as kids. Somebody would, you know, steal some cigarettes, and we'd go out in the woods and smoke. And Corey Feldman's character Teddy, you know, very, very seriously, they're all kind of talking about how a cigarette tastes better after supper, and you know, they're trying to kind of be grown up. And and he says, "I cherish these moments," and they all kind of laugh at him, you know. Or, you know, when they're being really serious about something, they say, "No, man, sincerely." You know, we use a lot of that language growing up, and even into our high school years when we talked to each other. You know, just it resonated so much with us. So yeah, I think it definitely was a sort of a new direction for the language and the dialogue that, you know, characters of that age were using in movies.
Absolutely. And again, both of these movies are just, obviously they're cast so well, but they really have great chemistry between the characters, and, mm-hmm. you know, you just feel the friendship from both movies.
Well, and I think something, and Tom, what you said kind of made me think too, you know, Stand By Me is, passage movie for these characters, right? They're trying to become adults.
Yeah,
you know, they're in that weird, you know, teaching middle school, they're in that weird cross section where they don't understand what it is to be an adult, and they don't want to be a kid. And so this is a great example of a movie they're having that almost adventure to become, you know, adults, where Goonies is all about the adventure to remain. So both, it's There's so many similarities in the movie. And like you said, Kevin, it's kind of interesting to draw, which makes me wonder, like, watching these two movies for the first time, like there's a perfect age that when you see it, it resonates with you. And Goonies, I would say it's that, you know, 9 to 11 year old, even a little earlier. And then Stand By Me is more of that early teens. It draws you in because like you said, Tom, you could really relate to it, where when I was watching it as a kid, I couldn't do it. It wouldn't even cross my mind as an 8 year old to threats and, you know, but, right. But it would cross my mind to, eat a whole bunch of ice cream or throw a candy bar at a, you know, at a monster. Which, by the way, it's just so weird watching movies from the 80s and how racist sometimes they are. And I don't want to go down that path of this, but there's some questionable things that, like, you know, I often wonder if, like, the directors were like, hey, we're going to call the pirate One-Eyed Willie. And it's like, never stood out. I'm like, yeah, he's got an eye patch. But then it's like, wow, that's crazy. One-Eyed Willie.
Yeah.
and then the Fratellis, you know, they're the, and Data. I mean, it's so interesting. You got the slapstick fat kid, who, by the way, rewatching that movie, that he's a brilliant little actor. And I believe that he never really went on to do anything else. I don't know that for a fact, but
no, he became a lawyer.
His performance in that movie is amazing. Like rewatching the blender scene, he's just great. In that scene and many others. But to go back and sorry to circle back, Kevin, but go back to your, the cast was just so well done. They said that those kids were so like friendly with each other in Goonies. I can't speak to Stand By Me. The directors would have to like reprimand them and like leave because they were so silly and just kids being kids. So that speaks volume to the casting. And I'm sure it's the same in Stand By Me. Those, the cast just seemed to gel really well together.
Well, I was watching the special features and, you know, there's an interview with Rob Reiner and he talks about how he specifically chose actors that to some extent embodied some of the characteristics that he wanted to have in the, you know, in the characters themselves. You know, there was Will Wheaton's character, you know, there was that sort of just doe-eyed look of innocence. You know, River Phoenix's character was, you know, a good-hearted kid, but also, you know, because of his upbringing and his family kind of had some mischievousness to him. And Corey Feldman's character, Teddy, had, you know, just been through some traumatic experiences. And then Vern's, you know, I mean, he just was kind of, I mean, Rob Reiner even says Jerry O'Connell was kind of clueless in his audition. Like he didn't even really know what was going on. And that's sort of what he wanted, was just this, you know, kind of just goofy, clueless kid that just was kind of along for the ride and didn't really have a complete understanding of what was happening all the time. And then he really had, you know, some different techniques. I think they use the term theater games, which I don't know exactly what that is, but you know, they had techniques that they used to really get them to bond and become, you know, friends like they wanted to see them in the movie before they actually started to, you know, rehearse and act out the scenes. So they really worked on developing that bond and that friendship between them before they actually started to film it.
Wow, that's great information, Tom. I appreciate it.
Which
that.
I mean, like, to go back to the podcast you did about the Karate Kid, Kevin, when you had the right. Two guys, and I'm sorry I don't remember their names, that were both sort of part of, you know, Daniel's friends in the movie, I guess, his group of friends, when he moves to
right.
to the new town. And I remember them saying specifically how the director kept Ralph Macchio separate, you know, like he did not let them all hang out. Like, they were talking about how they'd go back to Frankie Avalon Jr.'s house and they'd all play music and kind of party and hang out, you know, after they, you know, were done filming for the day. And Ralph Macchio was not allowed to even, you know, be a part of that because they wanted him to kind of keep that sort of loner mentality. So, you know, I mean, I guess directors have ways of building and pulling out those things they're looking for, you know, to develop those relationships in the film.
One direction I wanted to go with you guys is the music in these movies. Again, that's another thing, you know, the first thing people think about with these films is probably not the music, but music plays a very important role in them. Because, you know, Stand By Me, it reminds me of Reservoir Dogs, how Reservoir Dogs has the, you know, the super sounds of the 70s going, you know, and Stephen Wright's character throughout the movie. And, you know, they have the radio in the background in Stand By Me, and, you know, you're hearing all the, you know, the 50s tunes. And I mean, the first thing I always think of is, you know, Lollipop, Lollipop, you know, it's always in my head. Obviously the name of the movie is a famous song. I think that's very important. And Goonies, you know, between Cyndi Lauper and then just the very, I would say, yep, iconic score, you know, it's just bump, 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 bump. I mean, it just that gets you going, and you're automatically.
You're really good at that, by the way.
Both of these movies.
You need to do that more often on your podcast.
Yeah, master of impressions and score, you know, beatboxing. Yeah, I appreciate that. How do you feel, you know, Tom? I'll start with you because, you know, you've had an influence. You know, I know how important music has been in your life, and you've definitely influenced a lot of my music choices. You know, growing up, again, as I've always recommend, it's good to have an older brother or sister, especially for these kind of things. You can get, you know, the music to listen to, you know, the movies to see, you know, what not to do and, you know, what not to say and all that stuff. How do you feel about the way music is used in Stand By Me?
I think it's an integral part of the movie. It's certainly one of the things that made it so easy for me to love the movie. I mean, this is all music that I grew up with because Dad was so into the oldies. You know, before he got so into beach music, he was really into those, you know, the late 50s and early 60s oldies, and that's what this movie is just full of. Of course, the, you know, the title song Stand By Me is, you know, still just, you know, just a great song. And then the way they use all the other songs, like, you know, it's very specific to the scenes. You know, when we first kind of meet them all and they're all in their treehouse, and Rockin' Robin's playing on the radio, when they're walking down the train tracks, and, you know, it's kind of a carefree sort of, just, you know, they don't really know what's in store for them. They're just out on an adventure. You know, there's like you mentioned, Lollipop, or Buddy Holly's another song, another artist that I forget which song it is, but, you know, it just kind of sets the tone, even when they have a scene with Kiefer Sutherland and the older boys when they're like drag racing each other, and it's Great Balls, Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the selections that they chose represent that period so well, but then each specific one for the scene really sets the tone for that scene as well.
Very well said, Tom. Jeremy, what would you say, the role Goonies, the music of Goonies.
Well, exactly what your brother just said is the same thing. It's, I almost think that in the 80s, you had to have an amazing score. I mean, if you look at the iconic movies from the 80s, a lot of it, in my opinion, was probably started with Star Wars, right? It just had an amazing, you know, the end of the 70s going into the 80s, just an amazing score, and some of the best soundtracks, and all the movies that I can think of that I just loved in the 80s, their soundtracks are phenomenal. They're really good at
absolutely
in Stand By Me's case, they just did an amazing job of picking music from the era that fit. In Goonies, they had Cyndi Lauper write that song, and that was a great, I'm not going to like necessarily rock out to that song all the time. But when you hear that song, you immediately think of Goonies. I should make that an I statement. When I hear that song, I immediately think of Goonies. And like you said, the score that was created for it, it just adds to the mood of everything. And when you hear those, or when I hear those songs outside of the movie, you can picture the scene exactly. So it was something that they did just a great job of. It wasn't just something extra. It was, like Tom said, it was integrated into it, and the scenes were better because of it. So yeah, definitely the music is just fantastic and very fitting to Goonies. I would say that about most of the successful movies in the 80s, the soundtracks are just awesome.
I am in complete agreement. And as you said, you know, going back to Star Wars, I would actually even go, just to give credit where credit is due, I would go back to Jaws a couple years before that. But yeah, Deb, you know, uh-huh. John Williams is just, you know,
he's brilliant.
You know, people always say somebody is the Michael Jordan of blank. You know, you could easily change that to he is the John Williams of blank. Because that's just, you know, you think of iconic movie scores, you know, that from everything, and he's usually behind it.
One final note about the Jeremy music. I mentioned the special features I'd watched earlier, and they actually did a video of the song Stand By Me, and it must have been because they're all, they even when they're interviewing the actors, they're all probably 4 or 5 years older, so it must have been when the DVD was released several years later. But they did this video.
Right.
And again, you know, I think it's just Will Wheaton and River Phoenix that are in it, actually with Ben E. King, I believe. And he, you know, he's much older. And it's, as far as I could tell, it's the original recording. And they're just, you know, kind of lip syncing to it or whatever. And River Phoenix is actually playing, like, you know, kind of air playing an electric guitar, which I thought was kind of funny. But just, you know, an interesting little tidbit about that, the movie from that, the music from that movie as well. But it's kind of funny to watch them in that video.
Yeah, and I know that Cyndi Lauper did the same kind of idea with the whole cast doing the music video for her.
It's amazing.
Hers probably got like more airplay on MTV than Benny King.
I think you're 100% right there.
Yeah.
Well, and like you said, and it's interesting because I never realized that when watching the movie Stand By Me, how it's on the radio and the parallelism with Goonies, where, you know, they have the TV on and that song's playing on the TV, the iconic Cyndi Lauper music is playing and then it pans out. So a lot of parallels in the movies that are But I'm seeing too, and I don't know if you guys have seen this, but shows that are doing really well right now, like Stranger Things is one that stands out to me. They drew from both Stand By Me, from Goonies, and they did an amazing job of, you know, tugging on that nostalgia that's in all of us, that's from 30 to 45, 50 years old. And it still resonates with young people today. The formula that both of these movies used, it works. And you're seeing that in things that are successful these days. And it's kind of neat, I think, to see, you know, away from certain things in movies, but then they're circling back to a lot of it that was part of Goonies and Stand By Me. I don't know if you guys have a take on that at all, but...
Well, I think that's a very strong point, Jeremy. And it's interesting you mentioned Stranger Things. When they had auditions for, you know, the actors in Stranger Things, they had them read lines from Stand By Me. So, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The influence is all over the place. All right. Well, gentlemen, this has been great. And again, like I said, I'm like right in the middle of both of these. I love all of them. You know, right now, you know, I'm more likely to watch, you know, because I can watch Goonies with the kids. So for now, it's probably going to be, you know, a heavy Goonies lean. But then in a few years, when they can, when they're old enough to watch Stand By Me, I got a feeling they might, you know, gravitate more towards that. Of course, I have no idea. So that's what, you know, makes everything so, you know, worthwhile. And that's a lot of the fun of life. But this has been amazing. You've both done great job. You're both very prepared and just made excellent points. Before we get out of here, I'd like for each of you to kind of give us your final take on each movie. Jeremy, why don't you go out and give us your final take on The Goonies?
So again, I can't even say what somebody would normally say. Like, if you're looking for this, everybody's seen this movie. Everybody's experienced it. I would encourage listeners to watch it again. I 100% agree with all the statements that Tom's made. And I would 100% agree with what Kevin just said. And the excitement as a parent of young people, I got a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old is I'm excited to be able to expose them to these movies and hopefully build some nostalgia that exists with them and for them. And, you know, put some of my bias here. But that's exciting to do. And I think with Goonies, it's the quintessential adventure movie. Man, the amount of one line that are in that movie is just insanity. Rewatching it and the amount of times that I know that I quote that movie without even recognizing or realizing I'm quoting it, speaks volume to the movie itself. But yeah, just a great film that kids can relate to. And as adults, you can watch again and just kind of relive the adventure of being a kid and just a great all around movie that I'm really glad they've never made a sequel to. Yet I think I mentioned this in the open, watching the cast reunited thing online is just awesome. So I checked that out too, but just a cool movie that I think, almost 100% of the people that watch it can relate to in some way, for sure.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeremy. Tom, your final take on Stand By Me?
So I did coincidentally watch Goonies very recently as well. And not this, that was before I knew this was going to be going on. You know, so I just watched it for, you know, just like Jeremy mentioned, for pure entertainment and nostalgic reasons, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. You know, I really enjoyed watching it. It brought back a lot of good memories. I probably hadn't seen it since I was a teenager or a kid. I mean, I just hadn't seen it in so long. But again, Stand By Me is something that I watch every few years. You know, like I said earlier, you're starting with a story written by Stephen King. So it's got a lot of elements, you know, there's a dark side to it, but there's humor involved. It's just a good kind of life lesson in there about, you know, friendship and just sort of people coming and going from your life and, you know, sort of how you should approach that and deal with it. And, you know, certainly rings true throughout my life, and so it just means a lot to me, and I just think it was just very well done, and just kind of tells that story of, you know, these boys coming of age and kind of finding out a little bit more about who they are and where they want to go.
Well, that's well said, Tom. Thank you again, gentlemen. Jeremy, Tom, I'm totally, you know, appreciative of y'all joining me and doing this episode of Movie Battle. This has been one of the classic episodes. What a great matchup, and, you know, just, you know, very, you know, great guests.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, thank you.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to Movie Battle. I'd like to send extra thanks to our guests, Jeremy Lutz and Tom Armstrong. Remember, you can follow Movie Battle on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you like the show, please subscribe, share on social media, recommend to a friend. Thank you for coming correct.